Whether you're starting or scaling your company's security program, demonstrating top-notch security practices and establishing trust is more important than ever. Vanta automates compliance for SOC 2, ISO 27001, and more, saving you time and money while helping you build customer trust. Plus, you can streamline security reviews by automating questionnaires and demonstrating your security posture with a customer-facing trust center, all powered by Vanta AI. Over 7,000 global companies like Atlassian, Flow Health, and Quora use Vanta to manage risk and prove security in real time. Get $1,000 off Vanta when you go to vanta.com/go. That's vanta.com/go for $1,000 off. Whether you're starting or scaling your company's security program, demonstrating top-notch security practices and establishing trust is more important than ever. Vanta automates compliance for SOC 2, ISO 27001, and more, saving you time and money while helping you build customer trust. Plus, you can streamline security reviews by automating questionnaires and demonstrating your security posture with a customer-facing trust center, all powered by Vanta AI. Over 7,000 global companies like Atlassian, Flow Health, and Quora use Vanta to manage risk and prove security in real time. Get $1,000 off Vanta when you go to vanta.com/go. That's vanta.com/go for $1,000 off.
This is the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, all about the Arizona Cardinals and the NFL, featuring insider and outsider perspectives. Enjoy the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Now here are your hosts, Jess Root and Seth Cox.
Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the Rise Up Sea Red podcast. This is our Cardinals talk on the web. I'm your host, Jess Root, from CardsWire.com, the USA Today NFL Wire site that covers, of course, your Arizona Cardinals. And this is show three of the week, show number two, with my co-host, Seth Cox, from AvengeTheBirds.com, the SB Nation Arizona Cardinals site, and is episode 627. It is our Cardinals Panthers preview picks and prediction show, the one where Seth and I have. I had Jared Feinberg on from Panthers Wire on earlier in the week, so we got the perspective from the other side, and now we just give our takes on a game that, don't call it a trap game, and I'm completely in agreement with Kyler Murray that says we don't need to worry about this being a trap game. Our backs are against the wall. We're not that good, essentially. You can't have a trap game if you're not good. And so, now, is this a game they absolutely have to win? I mean, mathematically, no. I broke that down on CardsWire that, like, if they had lost to the Patriots, if they had lost to the Panthers, they lose one of those two games, the math still says in a 9-8 three-way tie, as long as the Rams beat the Seahawks in Week 18, Cardinals win the division. But, and I think I said this on the radio on Wednesday on AM 1060, if the Cardinals don't beat the Panthers, even though they're mathematically still in it, they don't deserve to win the NFC West if they lose this game.
Yeah, and I agree with you to an extent now. I wrote about it today. I'm sure you'll be writing about it shortly here. It's... the injury situation is starting to look grim. We know per Kyle Odegaard that Paris Johnson Jr. will not play this weekend. It sounds like he might be done for the year, which is a huge loss. He's played really well in his first year at left tackle. And then the other two, one, I think we're slightly over 50% on, and the other one slightly below, but both inside linebackers are non-participants in practice as of Thursday this week. Obviously Mac Wilson recovering from the concussion, but Kaiser White's sick, and I think he'll be fine for the game. It's, you know, two full days. Well, three, if you include Thursday, you know, three full days of recovery.
Yeah. Anytime a guy has an illness, you know,
I feel okay.
I rarely worry about that because the number of times that the Cardinals have had an illness pop up on their injury report Sunday morning, they always play.
Yeah, so you're just hopeful it's nothing serious. You know, he's not, you know, he doesn't have anything that's bad, and that he'll be fine for the game. But, you know, but you're right. Like, even with those issues, you still feel like this is a game that this team should handle business with.
They should. That's the thing. Even if they are missing a few players with injury, the running back room looks like it's going to be different. I bet that we're probably seeing Michael Carter in the Trey McBride, and then in the Trey Benson role, DJ Dallas playing the third down back again as they signed Tony Jones to the practice squad. But, you know, injuries or not, I still going to hold to, like, this is a game where if you believe this is a playoff team or they have a chance, like, they don't deserve to win the NFC West if they don't beat the Panthers. The Panthers are playing better. They are playing better. And they are, you know, they're 3-11 with the worst defense in the NFL and are terrible at stopping the run. But they did have a 5-game stretch where they played pretty well. The 2 weeks leading up to the bye, they won. Granted, it was against garbage teams in the Saints and the Giants. But then coming out of the bye, they lost in the final minute to the Chiefs by 3. They took the Buccaneers to overtime, and they were a ball touching the ground away from beating the Philadelphia Eagles in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And 5 straight games they played well. The wheels fell off last week against the Cowboys. My personal belief, I think that stretch that they had was their peak.
Well, and it's also tough for a young team with a young quarterback and a new coach to come out of that stretch after the bye and be 0-3, right? Like, it does mess with your head.
Like we talked about, with a new head coach, he's writing, your head coach as a leader is writing checks to your team, and they have to cash in every once in a while. They almost cashed in 3 straight weeks, but nobody got paid with a win. And so it's hard to almost win every week when you are an under-talented team. And things kind of go backwards. Now, granted, they were facing a Dallas team that has plenty of talent, but heck, Cooper Rush looked like a Pro Bowler. And if Cooper Rush can look like that, I know what the narrative is going to be. Cooper Rush looked like this against the Panthers. If Kyler doesn't throw for 4 touchdowns and 500 yards, I'm guessing they're probably, fans won't be happy. But,
well, and it's one of those situations, Jesse, you look at it. I mean, just the overall statistics, they're the worst scoring defense in the NFL. They're the fourth worst scoring offense in the NFL. They're not bad.
They literally give up 30 points a game, 29.9 per game.
Right. Ouch. They're not bad against the pass in terms of yards.
But that's because no one has to pass the ball,
right?
Because they're dead last. The opponents run the ball more against them than anyone else. They rush for more yards and rush for more yards per attempt. That is a terrible combination.
Yeah, and that's what you have to look at. This could be a game where we see James Conner, you know, 150-plus yards. The aforementioned Michael Carter, you know, 75-plus yards. DJ Dallas, 50-plus yards. and Kyler only has 150 yards passing, and people go, well, he, you know, why didn't you? And it's like, well, who cares? They had 400 yards of offense. Yeah, 300 of it was on the ground, but, like, sometimes you win games that way.
They've given up over 200 rushing yards in their last 3 games. And only one game this season did they not allow 100, and that was against the Raiders in week 3. And we know the Raiders are a hot mess. Given up over 200. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times. 190. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 7 times, 8 times of 180 or more. This rush defense is terrible.
Well, Jess, that's what I was going to say. If you take that a step further, right, there's two games where they have not given up more than 125 yards rushing. That was in week three, the aforementioned game against the Raiders, and week eight against the Broncos. Every other game is technically 128 yards or more of rushing offense. And that's, you know, that's just a recipe for disaster. You look at the total yards, Jess, every game but one over 330 yards. Only four games on the season, less than 370 yards given up. And they've given up over 400 yards from scrimmage in seven games this year. By the way, one of those games they won. So it's
seven of their last 10.
Right.
And so
it's just, it's not good, Jess. And so to that point, you know, you look at that Eagles game, and that's kind of the game people are going to look at and go, I don't know.
That's the best game they could, like, that's the thing. That was, what was the Cardinals game last year? It was the Cowboys game. It was the Cardinals win last year over the Cowboys was Carolina's Philly game.
Right.
That's as good as they could have played on both sides of the ball, and they still lost.
Yeah, and you look at it, they're a team that, you know, they don't have a ton of talent. They're in a bad way, man. I mean, they signed two expensive guards. They've played well, right? Robert Hunt, Damian Lewis. They're decent. They played well this year.
Whether you're starting or scaling your company's security program, demonstrating top-notch security practices and establishing trust is more important than ever. Vanta automates compliance for SOC 2, ISO 27001, and more, saving you time and money while helping you build customer trust. Plus, you can streamline security reviews by automating questionnaires and demonstrating your security posture with a customer-facing trust center, all powered by Vanta AI. Over 7,000 global companies like Atlassian, Flow Health, and Quora use Vanta to manage risk and prove security in real time. Get $1,000 off Vanta when you go to vanta.com/go. That's vanta.com/go for $1,000 off.
They protect Bryce Young pretty well. He was sacked 63 times as a rookie. He's only been sacked 21 times this year. And so that's a combination of two things, because when I saw Bryce Young play last year, I saw a lot of similarities in style of play, not talent, but I saw a lot of similarities in style of play between Bryce Young as a rookie and Kyler Murray as a rookie. And remember, Kyler took a ton of sacks because he was trying to extend plays. I think it's a combination of they have a better offensive line this year, and he's making better decisions. The problem is that their offense just isn't that good. And Bryce Young is better than he was. He now looks like a promising young quarterback. Last year he looked like a mess. That before he got benched earlier this year, he looked like, you know, remember the Blaine Gabbert bad. Blaine Gabbert, when he was playing the first couple of years he was starting, it didn't look like he knew how to play football. But Bryce Young is now making plays. He looks like what you wished he would have looked like as a rookie, like how Caleb Williams looks now. There's flashes of like, oh, he's good.
Yeah, and there have been some issues that you mentioned. I mean, the reality is their offensive line's fine. You know, we mentioned Hunt Lewis. Ike Kwanu is playing well. They signed Taylor Moten to a big contract. He's doing well. The problem is, outside of Chuba Hubbard, who's a dynamic running back, they really don't have anything else. And the biggest issue with Hubbard is that he just can't get enough touches because they're behind so often.
Yeah.
You know, and so you look at his last, like, five games. Those four losses, right? So he comes off a game where they beat the New York Giants in overtime. He has 28 carries for 153 yards and a touchdown. And you're like, oh, this is good. I mean, this is a guy that can make plays, you know, over 5 yards a carry. The next 4 weeks, Jess, he's averaging 3.4 yards per carry. Well, and they're trying to feed him the ball still. They're still trying to make him a workhorse, but it's tough.
Well, he is a workhorse type back, but the run game, like, he's having an okay season. He's got over 1,000 yards already, but you look at as a team, in 6 of their last 8 games, they have not reached 100 rushing yards. That's not good.
Right, and especially when you're talking about a guy that's getting 16 touches a game on the ground. You know, you look at it overall, this is a guy that's getting that's averaging – in terms of just touches per game, he's averaging almost 20 touches a game. Like, and he's very good. I don't want to take anything away from him. He's very good, but like, he's kind of their only guy. You've had flashes from Xavier Leggett, I think he's a second year wide receiver. He's had, I think, 2 big games this year. No, he's a rookie. Sorry.
Yeah, he was their first round pick this year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because he was the set. Oh, yeah. He was picked 32nd, huh? He's had, you know, 2. We'll call it 3 good games this year. You know, one in week. I think that was week 3, and then 2 over the last month and a half that have been decent, that Kansas City and that Tampa game.
But he's only had 1 game period that has over 5 catches, and that was against Cincinnati. He had 6 for 3. 66.
Right. And so that's the thing, is he's a guy that gets the ball twice a game, and you just have to contain those, you know, those plays. Adam Thielen's 34 years old. Again,
he's their best receiver,
but he's been banged up the last 3 weeks. The last 4 weeks he's looked younger and spryer, but he's got 1 touchdown in those games. And you know, it was probably the 8 weeks off in between that kind of helped him, right?
Yeah,
he's been out since September 22nd. So he's a guy that, you know, again, the age is showing and is catching up with them. But he is their best weapon when he's healthy and on the field. Jalen Coker has been.
Jared Feinberg said that he looks.
He had a great game last week. I mean, we can't take 4 for 110, 1 touchdown. Great game last week. But, you know, he's been active and inactive. He's dealt with some injury thing. Like, he's been okay. Like, he is a big play machine, though. Like, that is the guy they want to get down the field to try to make plays. And you look at his, you know, you look at his yards per reception in the games that he's been able to be on the field in, and you know, he's got 1 with 17, you know, 4 for 68. He's got 1 for 19 and a half, 4 for 78. Even his 2 catches for 36 yards or 3 catches for 41 yards. And then obviously last week that we talked about, like, he's a guy that can make plays, but again, you're just talking, I mean, Jatavion Sanders is a young guy. He's a rookie that's hasn't done much. Tommy Tremble is, you know, he's kind of your Elijah Higgins. But the problem is you've got basically 2 Elijah Higgins and Sanders and Tremble. You don't have a Trey McBride. I mean, because going into December, I think people were really starting to be like, oh, I think Jatavion Sanders is turning it on. You know, he had that game against Kansas City, 3 catches for 49 yards. He hasn't had a catch since, man. Like, that's tough. Tommy Tremble, like I said, he's more of your – they use him more like tip, right? Like, he's a blocking guy, but, like, he produces more like Elijah. And so it's tough. They just lack.
He's the Troy Nicholas of Notre Dame tight ends.
Right. And so they just lack that
Cardinals talent. Fans will remember Troy Nicholas because Notre Dame produces really good tight ends. And then there was Troy Nicholas. Right. And apparently now Tommy Tremble, who's talented, just not productive.
And then you flip it to the defensive side, man. They're just
they have two players that you can build around. JC Horn clearly and Trevin Wallace, but he's hurt. But yeah, they are old. They are old. They like Jadeveon Clowney, 31 years old. He's got 3.5 sacks. A'shaun Robinson, the run stopper, leads the team in sacks with 4.5. 26 sacks. That they're very Cardinals like in that sense, and their production comes from a lot of players, just like the Cardinals. So they don't generate their own good pass rush.
Well, and what's crazy is think about this. Like this is their top four guys in terms of sacks. A'shaun Robinson, he'll be 30 soon. Jadeveon Clowney, he'll be 32 soon.
Josie Jewell,
who is 30, and Charles Harris will be 30 soon. So like you said, it's not like they're building anything. They kind of got a bunch of mercenaries for 1 year, right? Like, hey, get us through the season. Right? Like, we don't have any talent, so just get us through the season.
Yeah, and they've got a defensive coordinator that's highly regarded in Ajira Evero. But, you know, when you don't give them talent, much like we saw, Vance Joseph now with the Broncos, with the guys that he wants and a shutdown corner and Pat Surtain, guess what? That defense is great. The defense when he was here, highly regarded, really inconsistent. And Evero's kind of in the same boat right now.
Right. And then you look at it, though. I mean, you mentioned it. When you look at it, they have to give Jewel the day off. Jadeveon Clowney has been hanging out with Kaiser White. He didn't practice with an illness. A'shaun Robinson's dealing with a knee issue. And we've talked about guys that size, right? Like guys that are 310, 20 plus pounds, like A'shaun Robinson, a knee could be one of those things, especially at 30, where you're like, well, that's the season, right? Like, especially on a 3-win team. So, you know, the Cardinals are dealing with injuries. The Panthers are dealing with lacking talent, and then their talented players are injured. So it's just an interesting mix because, you know, for what the Cardinals were last year, we knew a lot of the young guys, right? Like a lot of, even like Kaiser White, Garrett Williams coming back, those guys, you were like, oh, I know these guys, right? And they need to add to it. Even along the line, right? Yael DeFroholt, you were excited about Will Hernandez, you know, PJJ. The Panthers defense is one of those things that, like you said, outside of Horn and Wallace, you might have to replace all of them because they're either old or they're kind of just stopgap guys. And that's an issue. And like you said, Ajero Evero's, I mean, yes, they're awful defensively. So I don't want this to come across any other way, but at the same time, what he's been able to do is astounding given how talentless that they are. I mean, you mentioned it, dude, like A'shaun Robinson leads your team in sacks. Like the fact that this dude is getting anything is just, it's just a testament to him.
You know how many sacks he had in his career entering this year? 7. And never had more than 2.
And then you look at the Dave Canales, and you do feel for guys like Canales who come over and this is their first job, right? Because again, Chuba Hubbard, I think he's a guy that you would, you know, you'd be happy with if he was your lead back. Obviously, not the Cardinals, but a lot of teams would be happy with him. But I mean, Xavier Leggett, your leading receiver in terms
of, they go and draft Jonathan Brooks and he tears his ACL again.
Right, I know. But Xavier Leggett is your leading receiver in terms of receptions and yards with 41 and 439, right? Your number two receiver in terms of yards is Adam Thielen.
He's a 34-year-old. Now, granted, that's in 7 games, so.
Right, so yeah, exactly. But you also get what you pay for when you're talking about a 37-year-old or 34-year-old. So, you know, it's a tough year, man, and they play hard. I mean, they really do, and they've got some guys in Leggett and Coker that should be able to help take the pressure off Hubbard, but if they can't get going early, it's a dicey proposition. And even though, like you said, Bryce Young has had moments and flashes, the reality is that, you know, even in those games, right, where they were contesting Kansas City and Tampa, it wasn't exactly because Bryce Young was playing great.
Right, right.
And so that's how you kind of have to look at it. And last week was a culmination of what you talked about, like just that energy draining out of them. You mentioned it, right? Only been sacked 20-some-odd times this year. He was sacked six times last week.
Now, granted, that Dallas defense can get after you, but yeah. 21 times, but six last week. Maybe that's a sign of what's to come. Coming next on the Rise of Sierra podcast, Mr. Cardinals talking about. Let's look at this matchup. We've talked a lot about the Panthers. Let's look at the game itself. Keys, matchups that we're looking for. That's coming up next on Rise of Sierra. We're back on the Rise of Sierra podcast, Mr. Cardinals talk on the web, looking at the Cardinals-Panthers Week 16 matchup. We get to see Bryce Young for the first time, although I am a little bit disappointed we don't get the Andy Dalton stat, where we would have faced Andy Dalton for the fifth time in 6 years on five different teams. Before last year, they played him. They played him, and he was a backup who started. So he started as, like, he was the second string guy, and he started, and the Cardinals beat him 4 years in a row. And we when he was with the Saints, was it? No. Who was he with last year? Was he with Carolina last year?
No, I thought it was the Saints.
Because we beat, he had that terrible game 2 years ago. No, he was with Carolina last year too.
Oh, was it?
So we knew we weren't going to face him. But then when Bryce Young got benched and Andy Dalton was the star, I'm like, here we go again. So we don't get the opportunity to face Andy Dalton for the fifth time in 6 years on a fifth different team. That said, breaking down the matchup, I think number one, we mentioned the stat. I guess number one is simply do what you do well against what the Panthers don't do well at all, and that is heavy doses of the run game. James Conner and Michael Carter. I'm going to assume it's Michael Carter since Trey Benson has missed 2 days of practice. I believe that is now the case. I haven't looked at the injury report.
Yeah, he did not. He did not practice today.
So we're looking at James Conner and Michael Carter, and, you know, sprinkling DJ Dallas on those third down. Well, heck, we might not need to have a third down and nine draw play, because
let's hope not.
The Panthers give up 5 yards a carry. So, yeah, run the ball and run the ball some more. This is a game where, guys, don't expect Kyler to have a big game. No, don't. This is the James Conner game. In fact, when we get to the prop bets, this is the James Conner 2-touchdown game again. I don't know. But, yeah, they got to run the ball. And then as simple as that, it's run the ball and then make the Panthers turn the ball over, because they have turned the ball over in 10 out of their last 11 games, including 4 last week. Bryce Young was picked off twice. He lost 2 fumbles. So just that's your recipe. Run the football, take the ball away once or twice.
Yeah, and just take advantage of some of the matchups, right? I mean, we talked about it. Jadeveon Clowney is not a bad football player by any means, but he is, you know, going to be 32 this year. He's at the twilight of his career. And you look at what he's done this year, he's been okay rushing the passer. You should be able to have a game where you can really – Jonah Williams should be able to hold up against him, right? Like,
yeah,
that should be a game that he just doesn't do anything, and you're really able to dominate the game to the right side. Their other pass rusher, you know, I mean,
DJ Wanham's in, like, he's got 3 sacks in 5 games. He's come on a little bit. He's talented. Yeah. He's talented, but he is what he is. He is a secondary pass rusher. you can't have him be the main guy.
And we've seen Kelvin on a week where he knows that he's starting, that he does a really good job.
Right. Kelvin Beachum in pass protection this year, outside of when he filled in week one, has been really good. Now, granted, he played right tackle all year, so he will be sliding
switching sides. Yeah,
he will be at left tackle, but that he is more comfortable at left tackle. He likes it there. But that's, you know, it's another one of those weeks where you're like, oh, I guess we're glad we have Kelvin Beachum, because the other option would have been rookie Christian Jones. I'm not ready for that. I'm not ready for that yet, guys.
The biggest thing this week is we mentioned A'shaun Robinson, you know, kind of having a career year in terms of rushing the passer. He lines up next to Wonnum. Now, Wonnum is a part-time player. He's been playing a little more, as you said. A'shaun Robinson's going to line up in that right defense tackle position, and that's going to be an issue. We'll have to watch Evan Brown and Kelvin, how they work together, right? Because it'll be the first time all season. So those are the guys to watch. You mentioned J.C. Horn. I'm assuming he's going to follow.
He won't follow. That's the one thing that Feinberg said, is that because their defense is so bad, they can't afford him to follow a player.
So they just have to line him up on one side.
They have to line him up one side. They play a lot of cover three right now because they just don't have the horses to cover. So Harrison should have some opportunities, especially because they do like to move him inside a little bit. But yeah, when they're matched up, that will be a matchup to watch. It would be J.C. Horn against Marvin Harrison, because J.C. Horn is one very, very good young cornerback.
And then on the flip side, I mean, we talked about it. They just lack a lot of talent. Coker's the guy you have to watch. You know, how does Max Melton, Sean Murphy Bunting, how do they handle him? He does line up in the slot sometimes, but Garrett Williams is so good. I don't know if they'd take that opportunity, right? You know, I mentioned Leggett. He's been fairly not great this year. I mean, that's just the best way to put it. He hasn't played extremely well for a big body kind of yak guy. He's not living up to that. And like you said, it's a one, you know, it's a 2 to 3 touch a game deal for him. Thielen's the guy you expect him to get the most targets. When he is in, he's getting the most targets. That's a consistent thing, and they like to line him up in the slot also, right? So that, you know,
yeah, Thielen versus Williams will be an important one, and Williams has been fantastic this year. But you know, the way they use Thielen, like, he's gonna get catches, right? It's just a matter
it's manufactured. Yeah, it's just a matter of if it's going to be 6 yards a catch or 16 yards a catch. And that's one of the things that, like you said, Williams has been fantastic in you know, keeping that down this year. You know, Hubbard, again, I think he's played extremely well. I think he does a nice job. They really, really like to run him right through the middle and into that left guard area behind, you know, they're very highly, highly paid guards. We've talked about those guys. You know, Damian Lewis and Robert Hunt are guys that they've invested a lot in. So they're gonna use those guys, right? Like, yeah, those are guys that Damian Lewis from Seattle. He's a monster, 6'3", 332. He's a very, very good run blocker. I mean, Will Hernandez level run blocking. He was awful the last two games in pass protection. Now, mind you, Osa Odighizuwa from the Cowboys and Jalen Carter from the Eagles are excellent, but that could mean a good day for Darius Robinson. Robert Hunt is the other one. I mean, he was in Miami. Again, special run blocker type, but he's better in pass pro, so we'll see how that works out, because you know, Roy Lopez, Dante Stills, those guys that you'll kind of rotate in there. I don't think the Cardinals are expecting much in way of getting to the passer, but if they can do a nice job lining up against Hunt and shutting down, helping shut down Chuba Hubbard, that's a you know, that is a win in and of itself. Hubbard's the guy, man. I mean, there's really nothing else to it. If you have a game where Bryce Young beats you, it's either time to reevaluate or it's time to tip your cap. And I'm not trying to be disrespectful to Young. He's, like you said, he's shown some flashes. But the four games after the benching, right, he came back and he was the best he's been. And then since then, he's regressed back down to the guy he kind of was, where people were like, oh, they got to move off of him.
Yeah.
The SB Nation writer for the Panthers is, you know, I kind of asked, I said, is there any inkling that they'll go to Andy Dalton? And he's like, they need every snap they can of Young on film. So the answer is no. Like, you got to get this guy on film. You got to hope that he plays well enough that that you can get any type of trade, because that's where they're at in this with him. So it's, you know, it's tough, and it's one of those things that you look at, and truthfully, this should be a game that the Cardinals, if they, like you said this from the beginning of the show, if you're a good team, this is a game you win. And that's what the question is about this team, right? Are they a good team? I think you and I are both on the fence of good. I think we're both in the way of, like, they are an average team. And let's be honest, an average team should win this game.
Yes. And like we talked about in the show the other day, is the Cardinals, you can argue one of the Seattle games, but none of their losses have been against a team that they should have beaten. And this would definitely qualify as one of those. They've beaten all of the team. They've won all the games. You're like, you should win that game. And they have. So there's no reason to think other than just worry. Cause you know, as Cardinals fans, we know that the other shoe could drop at any time.
Well, and I think that's what it is, right? We've been waiting. Like you said, the losses that they've had, obviously hindsight with the one, but the losses that they've had, you're like, oh, this isn't bad. Looking back, you know, the Commanders one being the one with hindsight, but we're waiting for that. Like, oh, I cannot believe they lost to this team. And it hasn't happened, thankfully. And maybe it doesn't, man. I mean, maybe it just doesn't happen this year, and you know, we'll be able to enjoy a Cardinals season without any of those losses that you're like, well, there's the Cardinals we all know and love.
Yes, indeed. Coming up next on the Rise of Sierra podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on the web. Now we move on to the picks, predictions, and the props. That's coming up next on Rise of Sierra. We're back on the Rise of Sierra podcast, Mr. Our Cardinals Talk. We have time to make our predictions for this game. If you listen to the show that I had with Jared Feinberg, I think this game will be an unremarkably, you know, it's gonna be an unspectacular big win. Like, kind of like last week. The Cardinals beat the Patriots by nearly two touchdowns, scored 30 points, had nearly 400 yards of offense, and it was like there was nothing spectacular. You didn't feel good about it, but you also weren't worried. It was just a remarkably boring game to watch in terms of intrigue. And I think that will be this one. And like I said earlier in the show, that I think the Panthers peaked. The two wins, the three close losses to good teams, and I think that's it. I think that they have expended the competitive energy that they have. I don't know if they can bounce back well. Will they be played better than they played against Dallas? Will they turn the ball over four times against Sac six times? I don't know. I don't want us to predict that, but I think it'll be a handle league win. I've got this game going 31 to 20 in favor of the Cardinals. So they'll hit the over. And I've also got, as we'll talk about the props, it's happening this week, guys. Trey McBride is ending his touchdown catch drought. And maybe we'll get two, or maybe even three.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting one because you feel like it's coming in their due. You know, for this one, I'm in agreement with you. I think the Cardinals handle it. 4.5-point road favorites. 46.5 is the over and under. Jess and I were very confident that the under would hit last week. And then the Cardinals gave up a late touchdown to get that backdoor cover of the over, because why not? I'm going to stick to what I said last week. I think this is another under type of game. I'm going to go 28 to 17. So just under the under. 46.5 is the over under. 28-17, that gets you right at 45. Cardinals cover, take the under. I don't love it because apparently sometimes they forget that they're still playing, but you know, whatever.
Yes. And in terms of props, there's not a ton, especially for the Cardinals. Although if you like touchdown scorers, one thing that it's ridiculous. Seth and I were talking about the score. This is ridiculous. James Conner is -225 for an anytime touchdown. That's how much confidence or lack of confidence that odds makers have in the Carolina defense. They're like, oh, James Conner, like 2-1, like 1-2 odds. He's going to score a touchdown. And to score 2 touchdowns, it's only +300, which is
absurd.
Crazy. Yeah,
absurd. Justin and I both heavily recommend staying away from it. It's not worth it because you could have a fluky thing. And we said, it does seem like they're going to try to force feed this week. The Trey McBride touches near the goal.
Kyler
line.
Said it on TikTok. He said, I promise you, 85 is going to touch the end zone soon. So if you want to get on some really, really not great odds, +130 Trey McBride anytime touchdown. But, you know, on the show, Jared Feinberg, he was saying, you know, maybe 2 or 3 touchdowns. You can get +1,000 for Trey to score 2 touchdowns or 2+.
Yeah, I think that's the way you go. The other one you could look at is if you are so interested in Klein, +700 as Trey is the first touchdown scorer. Those aren't bad numbers. That gives you a little bit of a
and you can get that slightly better price on BetMGM at +750.
Yeah, so I would go with that, like, because you're looking at a guy that they're going to make a concerted effort to this week, and again, the Carolina defense is not equipped to deal with him. So it's one of those situations that you look at and you go, oh, this might be a nice play here. The other one, you mentioned it, there's not a ton this week right now because of the injuries and the unknowns with the Cardinals, but there are a couple that I do like. I do like to have Bryce Young. Where did it go? Did I lose it? Oh, they took it off. They did have his over 0.5 interceptions. I was going to take that. He just makes some inexplicable decisions, and the more you ask him to throw, the more it seems like he's trying to throw those interceptions.
Yeah, you can get, so it's a layup type of bet. It's -135 on BetMGM for Young to throw at least one interception.
Yeah, so it's not a, you know, it's not a, like you said, it's not going to win you a bunch of money, but I don't mind it. And then Hubbard's, he does have some alt rushing. The problem is that the thing that you have to take into account with the Hubbard stuff is how many touches is he going to get? If they keep the game close enough, you can clear his 70.5 fairly easily. The question becomes, you know, will they maintain a close game? That's why in this one, I do like his first quarter rushing yards at over 17.5. I think early in the game, they're going to make a concerted effort. You could see him having 40 to 50 yards in the first half, but you know, then they're down in the second half by 3 touchdowns and they feel like they have to throw the ball. And so those touches evaporate, similar to kind of what we saw with Ramondre Stevenson Antonio Gibson last week, where they had a lot of success running the ball, but they just couldn't because of the score.
Right. No kicking prop for Chad Ryland this week. And oh, yeah, I know why. Because Matt Prater is practicing. So
yeah,
so you don't know whether it will be him. But you can get plus odds on Eddie Pinheiro, plus 110 on over 1.5 field goals. And if you want to go over 6.5 kicking points, it's plus 105. Now, if you like Seth's prediction of 17 points, then you want to stay away from that. But I've got the Panthers hitting to 20 mark, which means, you know, unless they go for two, generally speaking, 20 points is two field goals, and you can cash in with the plus 110 on Pinheiro. And likewise, if they hit 20, if it's two touchdowns and two field goals, then you can hit the over 6.5 kicking points at plus 105.
And I do like that. You know, you gotta look at this game. You gotta find the edges in this game because it's gonna be tough. I think until we get James Conner's alternate rushing yards, it's gonna be tough to really make a lot of decisions this week because of how dominant we're expecting him to be.
Trey McBride, you can get 69.5 over under on receiving yards, and you can get him at plus 260 at over 100.
The one thing to think about, it's not going to be wet during the game, but there's a chance of rain Friday, Saturday, small chance Saturday. There's a decent chance on Friday. So there's a chance that it could be a sloppy field, which again goes back to Trey McBride or not Trey, James Conner, 200 plus yard rushing, right? So I think the biggest thing for Jess and I is one, obviously take the over on James Conner, but whoever the Cardinals' next guy is, not Kyler Murray, but whoever their next guy is. So if you get Michael Carter, if you get DJ Dallas, if you get another number, it might be a game where you take them 40 plus rushing yards.
Yes.
Cause there's a good chance that they're going to get,
because they're in, like, if they're controlling, they won't give Connor 30 carries. They will work that other guy in. Like as we kind of went over in previous shows, Connor's highest touch total in a game is 22 this season. And I think you probably want to keep it kind of at that level. So, you know, Benson had been working his way in a little bit more, and Michael Carter can be that guy. And I'm sure Michael Carter will be hungry as heck in the run game. So, and the type of runner that he is, he's in that Trey Benson, because he's got explosiveness. Like, you get him in the open field and he dazzles you.
Right. And that's, you know, that's why this would have been a week if Trey was healthy. You'd be like, oh, let's take his over and let's see if we can get him 50, 60 plus. Carter, yeah. I would go 40, 50 plus.
Yeah.
If he ends up being the guy. But again, you might be talking about a decision you don't get until Sunday morning before the game starts, where you're like, okay, now we got to make this call. So those will be the ones to watch. I would stay away from it. Not because I don't think that they can throw the ball. I just don't know if they'll have to.
Well, look at this. It's minus 110 for Kyle to throw over 1.5 touchdown passes. That's, and when we know that he's not been a prolific touchdown pass thrower this year, and it's minus 110. So the confidence that the odds makers have in the Panthers defense, they are very low confidence on that. Though, like, passing yards, don't touch that. Don't touch that. Because 228.5 for Kyler, if it's a game where if they score 30 points and they're running the ball and they get 200 yards rushing, guess what? You might not. It might be 195 that he hits.
Right, exactly. It's one of those games where it could be ugly and not in the, like, oh, you know, Kyler threw for 300 yards and four touchdowns. It would be like, no, the Cardinals ran for 300 yards.
And that and seems like that'll be that makes a lot of sense. Maybe a Kyler anytime touchdown as well might be in the mix, but you know, just know in terms of if you like my score prediction, that's where you've got four touchdown scoring. So you've got some room to mess around with it. So it's probably two Kyler, you know, maybe two Kyler throws, two rushing touchdowns, things like that. If you like Seth's, you know, 28-17 or 27-17. What did you say? 28-17?
Yeah.
That's just four touchdowns. And so, yeah. And so it doesn't matter the kicking props anyway. So we don't know if it's going to be Chad Ryan. We don't know if it's going to be Matt Prater. We don't know what the... interestingly enough, I want to kind of point this out. That I wonder what the plan is for Prater. If they open this practice window because they need to work or because he's ready to kick. Because you got 3 weeks. They could use up his entire 3 weeks and then it'll be the postseason. And if, here's the fun part, you know, if you're trying to protect Chad Ryland at all, because the season will be over, and if they're not in the postseason, then Ryland is under contract. If they make the postseason and they have to cut him and then put him on the practice squad or whatever, the likelihood of getting picked up by one of the playoff teams is really low at this point. So I'm wondering if they opened the practice window just to get him work as opposed to whether he's going to be ready to kick this week or not. I don't know.
Yeah. And that's the hard part, right? And again, in natural grass, potentially coming off a wet weekend, where it's going to be cold, it might be worth it just to, you know, wait another week where you've got then in the dome and in LA before you're in the dome in Arizona, right?
Yeah, that makes sense. And with that, we will wrap up this edition of the Rise of Sierra podcast, episode 627. The best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. We will be back again next week. Interesting. We will figure something out next week, because next week on Tuesday when we normally record will be Christmas Eve. So we'll figure something out about our schedule. There will be shows coming sometime, but it's the holidays. So Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to all y'all listening. You too, Seth. I'm sure we'll text between now and then. But that wraps up this edition of the show. We'll be back again soon. Thanks, as always, for listening.
Thanks for listening to the latest edition of the Rise Up Sea Red podcast. Listen to previous episodes and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Audioboom, or many other podcast platforms so shows are delivered directly to your mobile device. Please give the show a 5-star rating and always support the sponsors who support the show. We'll be back soon for the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Rise Up Red Sea, Be Red Sea Red, and of course, Rise Up Sea Red. Whoa!